بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ولا تسبوا الذين يدعون من دون الله فيسبوا الله عدوا بغير علم، كذلك زينا لكل أمة عملهم ثم إلى ربهم مرجعهم فينبئهم بما كانوا يعملون. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers and elders, amongst the things which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had asked Allah protection against, the hadith appears in Jami' al-Saghir. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said: Allahumma la yudrikni zamanun la yuttaba'u fihi al-alim wa la yustahya fihi min al-halim. Oh Allah, let me not live to see an era where divine guidance is ignored and there is no respect or regard for the senior members of the society. O Allah, let me, do not prolong my life to that time. Now, whether you like it or not, you agree or disagree, you and I have entered into a much more worse era. An era that calls for the glorification and the idolizing of the most immoral people, who by their own definition admit they will express joy by stripping in public. This is the token of joy. This is a mark of acknowledgement. This is how we will express our achievement and accomplishment. And a society that condones the mocking at the galaxy of the prophets, nay, the brightest star in the galaxy of prophets. As Muslims, we need to put things into perspective, and this is an ideal opportunity. While the situation is very volatile and it has inevitably prompted curiosity for many non-Muslims regarding the impeccable life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's the ayat al-karima that I recited: wala tasubbu alladhina yad'una min dunillah fayasubbu Allah 'adwan bighayri 'ilm. Islam never condones at any point the condemnation or the ridiculing or derogatory or blasphemous comments towards any other ism, any other prophet, any other religion, because this is against the spirit of Islam. And that's the verse I recited. وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Do not verbally abuse those who worship others besides Allah. Because this will, فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. In retaliation, it might prompt them to abuse your creator and your prophet. And this is against the spirit of coexistence. Another explanation for us to put on record: while the heat is on, and we've heard what has been happening over the week, in this entire saga, nowhere have we heard the faith of the cartoonist implicated. The individual himself has been implicated, and rightfully so, for the derogatory remarks and the blatant absurd remarks he leveled against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, the beauty of Islam is the individual will be called to account. The entire faith will not be put under the spotlight, contrary to how journalism reacts to the cases of Muslims. In the 16th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, and this is the beauty of Islam, that when he made a mistake and he ate from the forbidden tree, Allah used stern words, and Allah said, وَعَصَىٰ آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَىٰ. Now anybody who is familiar with basic Arabic can appreciate the intense and the enormity of the words used by Allah. عَصَىٰ and غَوَىٰ are rather stern words. But the scholars tell us that in the context of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, those stern connotations do not apply. But beyond this ayah, Qadi Abu Bakr ibn Arabi has written in his very famous writings, Ahkamul Quran, he says we need to set the record correctly how we discuss the mistakes of a Nabi. And this is the beauty of Islam. لا نفرق بين أحد من رسلي. We never will adopt the mentality of tit for tat. That if you accuse my Nabi, we will say, because we believe all are our prophets. And this is the wholesome nature of Islam. If I, wal'iyadhu billah, say anything unpleasant against any Nabi, immediately I step out of the fold of Islam and Allah save one and all. So while we are accused of being narrow-minded and being obsessed, yet the theory proves otherwise. If a Muslim says anything derogatory regarding any Nabi, he loses his iman. لا نفرق بين أحد من رسلي. In terms of prophethood, we consider them all worthy of respect and we revere them all. Qadi Abu Bakr ibn Arabi has written under this ayah, لا يجوز لأحدنا اليوم أن يخبر بذلك عن آدم إلا إذا ذكرناه في قوله تعالى أو قول نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم. That when we make in reference to the mistake of Adam alayhi salam, we do not make this a dedicated topic. We do not deliberate over this. We do not discuss this without need. Furthermore, إِلَّا إِذَا ذَكَرْنَاهُ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَىٰ أَوْ قَوْلِ نَبِيِّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. When we discuss the mistake of Adam eating from the forbidden tree, we restrict ourselves to the vocabulary of the Quran and the text of the hadith. We do not spice up the discussion. He then writes, فَأَمَّا أَنْ يَبْتَدِئَ مِنْ قِبَلِ نَفْسِهِ فَلَيْسَ بِجَائِزٍ لَنَا فِي آبَائِنَا الْأَقْدِينَ فَكَيْفَ بِجَائِزٍ لَنَا فِي أَبِينَا الْأَقْدَمَ الْأَكْرَمَ النَّبِي الَّذِي عَذَرَهُ اللَّهُ وَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. But in terms of giving it a go and making some humorous comments of any prophet, well, Islam strongly denounces. He writes, for you to do that with your biological father or your grandfather, how dare you do it with the first human and the first father of mankind? That is the beauty of Islam. وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. So it's very tragic and it's very unfortunate that in relation to the coexistence that we enjoy in this country over the decades and the centuries, for people to be insensitive like this and come and throw out these remarks. The consolation I spoke last week, and I'm going to share some other verses of the Quran, is amazing. Throughout the times, the infidels have made the Prophet a target of their mocking and their scoffing. But the reaction of the Quran has been rather diverse in the defense of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and other prophets, and we salute them all. So they said to the Prophet Hud alayhi salam, إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِي سَفَاهَا وَإِنَّا لَنَظُنُّكَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Oh, for all what we care, you know what, you're a liar. You are insane, wal'iyadhu billah. We consider you a deviant person. This was the comments leveled against the Nabi. So the Nabi responded and said, brothers, let me set the record correctly. Ya qawm laysa bi safaha. Ya qawm laysa bi dalala. I am not astray. I am not insane. But rather I am the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walakinni rasulun min rabbil alameen. But when derogatory remarks were leveled against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and study the Quran, and then I can run you through multiple verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you don't retort and reply, I will reply in the form of Quran. So with every other Nabi, he responded, but in the case of Nabi alayhi salam, when they said, wal'iyadhu billah, he is insane, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it upon himself, noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. By the pen and that which the angels record, ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bimajnun. You are not insane. The one who says you are insane is the biggest fool. Wa inna laka la ajran ghayra mamnun. Wa najmi idha hawa. By the star when it sets, ma dalla sahibukum wa ma ghawa. Your Nabi never deviated nor did he go off the track. Qul innama a'idhukum biwahida an taqumu lillahi mathna wa furada thumma tatafakkaru. Reflect, sit, apply your mind. Your Nabi is not a fool. He is not insane. Inna alladhina yu'dhuna Allah wa rasula. Those who choose to verbally abuse or level derogatory remarks or blasphemous comments against the Nabi, for them is the curse of Allah in this world and in the Akhirah. So that is the consolation. That whenever anybody leveled anything nasty against Nabi alayhi salatu was salam, the Quran responded. And that's not all. And I pity the man who wants to thread this road. I pity this man and his likes till Qiyamah. Walid ibn Mughira one day tried it. And he made some nasty remarks about Nabi alayhi salam. And read the Quran, I'm giving you only quoting from Quran and Hadith. He referred to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a liar. This man had a lot of evils to the extent that he was an illegitimate child. His mother had betrayed him. He uttered one ill against Nabi alayhi salam, which was obviously false because there were no ills. Allah came down exposing 10 of his evil qualities. Ibn Abbas, the giant of tafsir, said, لا نعلم أحدا في القرآن وصفه الله تعالى بما وصف به الوليد. Allah has exposed many infidels throughout times. I doubt there has been a disbeliever who's been more exposed than Walid ibn Mughira. And that also, Allama an-Nasafi writes in Madarik al-Tanzil so beautifully. He said, if you look at the pattern of Allah, if you send durood on Nabi alayhi salam once, Allah gives you 10 blessings. You try to expose one, Allah exposes you 10 times. Obviously, there's nothing to expose because the life of Nabi alayhi salam is pure. And we also need to know that the more a person tries to defame, it's a losing battle. Have we forgotten the incident of Tufail ibn Amr Dawsi radiallahu anhu? He said, people had poisoned me against the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that when I walked into Makkah, hashawtu fi udhuni qutna, I stuffed cotton wool into my ears. And I said, this man is really evil, unpleasant, hostile. I need to keep my distance away from him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided for me to walk past that road. And I walked past that very same place where he was reciting Quran. And notwithstanding the fact that I had instituted every measure to bar myself from listening to his message, when the Quran hit home, I became one of the most devout companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, I want to mention something here, and it's a bit sensitive, but I hope I can come across in a very balanced way. The Muslim of today, when the Nabi of Allah is accused and nasty remarks are put against him, then he's quickly to latch on to the verses of forgiveness and pardon. Doesn't Islam advocate forgiveness and pardon? But when you are violated, you never thought of forgive and pardon. When somebody insults you, insults your honor, is the Quran not advocating forgiveness and pardon to you? Or is it only because of weakness? Because of inability? Let's look at how the Sahaba responded and reacted. And I said this in my last Friday Jummah, and I say it again. We are calling for restraint and calm and balance and measure and diplomacy and to conduct yourself and not to have an emotional display. But it's not something we can just take. It's not something we're going to just move on with. And then if you look at that apology and the subsequent article, it throws water over everything. Now this is against the spirit of coexistence. When the giant Umar radiallahu anhu was in Baytul Muqaddas and the Christian priests were taking him around to have a look at the place. So it was the time of Salah. And they told Umar, you are in the church, you can offer your prayers here. Look at the vision of Umar and look at the spirit of coexistence. Umar radiallahu anhu said, I don't mind praying here, but I'm afraid if I pray here, the Muslims might lay claim to this land, suggesting that our leader prayed here and your church will become a matter of controversy. So you enjoy the freedom of your religion, and I don't want to jeopardize this freedom that you enjoy. So we are the conquerors here, but I'll excuse myself so that I don't fuel a discord and I don't contribute to a division in the years to come. So as Muslims, we've always coexisted with our fellow non-Muslims. And we've been taught very strongly not to insult anyone. At the same time, we will not accept the insults of anyone against our Nabi. Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu with a group of Sahaba are standing. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul makes a nasty remark, فَبَالَ حِمَارُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's camel or conveyance urinates. So he looked at it and he said, oh, that gives off a foul stench. That gives off an unpleasant odor. This were his remarks, and there was a frown on his face and dislike and disgust towards the whole thing. Now what is the spirit of Iman? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, none of you is a genuine believer until I am not more beloved to him than his wife, his children and himself. Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu anhu said, and he set the record. He said, hold your mouth there and there. لَبَوْلُ حِمَارِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ
أطيب ريحا من مسكك. You know what? The urine of the donkey of Nabi alayhi salam is more fragrant than your musk. What did he say? Not the urine of Nabi alayhi salam. The urine of the conveyance of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is more fragrant than your musk. Have you forgotten the incident of Badr in Bukhari Sharif? When Abdul Rahman ibn Auf says, I was standing on the plains of Badr. كنت واقفا يوم بدر وغلامان من الأنصار. And there were two young people standing besides me. And I looked at them, and I must be honest, I was disappointed. I said, if I had some talented, some muscular, some robust, some fierce people fighting on my right and my left, perhaps they will make a rich contribution to the ferocious battle. But when I looked at these young lads, tender, I said, I hope they're not a liability than anything else. I'm still entertaining negative thoughts, and one of them taps me on my shoulder. Ya am ata'rifu Aba Jahlin. Uncle, do you know who's Abu Jahl? Now, Abu Jahl was the most arch enemy of Islam, the most arrogant person, the most obstinate person. So I looked at the boy and I tried to make a tie between the two. I said, young boy, you want to know who's Abu Jahl? He said, yes, indeed. If you don't mind me asking the reason, فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ أَنَّهُ يَسُبُّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ فَإِنِّي أَعْطَيْتُ اللَّهَ عَهْدًا إِنْ رَأَيْتُهُ أَنْ أَقْتُلَهُ أَوْ أَمُوتُ دُونَهُ. I have been informed that the wretched, the wicked, the nasty, the arrogant, the obstinate human musters the courage to level verbal accusation to my Nabi. I have vowed with my Allah, either Abu Jahl lives or I live, but both of us won't live on earth. Either he goes or I go, one of the two. A man can make such blasphemous, such derogatory remarks, and he lives and I live, it's impossible. I'm again advising a word of caution, because we will be implicated that the clerics are advocating the display of emotions. We said that carry yourself with respect and dignity. And you are not being asked to give your life and understand the political climate and work within the legal framework, but be vocal and vociferous. Exercise your economic muscle. Allah has given the Muslim an economic muscle. Exercise it. Would you like that paper to be part of your shelf? Would you like to advertise with people who have no regard for your Nabi? Hit them where it hurts them the most. Their God is money. We are not calling for emotional display. We respect and regard and work within the framework. My opening comments were, we respect all faiths and we expect the same towards us. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf says, I'm still trying to digest. My word, what profound proclamations. When the youngster on my left taps me, I'm saying, my brother, you wanted to boycott the Danish products a few years ago, only to put a flag on your house today. Is your regret so short-lived? Can people hoodwink you so quickly? But yet when somebody offends you, you harbor it till you die. But when it comes to faith, your shoulders are broad. Your approach is very, very general. Your clemency levels are high. He said, before I could tell him, the other one tapped me. And he says, uncle, you know who's Abu Jahl? I said, but what? He said, the man, what an audacity. What absurd remarks. He said something ill of my Nabi. I vowed with Allah the hadith of Bukhari. Either he goes or I go. And they barely bounced this off me. And I said, Hada sahibukum. There goes Abu Jahl. They both advanced towards him. And you're looking at youngsters 12 and 13. 12 and 13. My youngsters are playing games. So they advance. One slays the leg of the horse on which he was riding, and one slays the legs of Abu Jahl and drop him. And they had ambushed him. It was unexpected. It was with the element of surprise. So they came from the rear with skill and precision, causing the horse to collapse, the horseman to fall. And then they further disabled him with this sword. They were young children. There was an element of acknowledgement. They came running to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulallah, ana qataltuhu. Ya Rasulallah, ana qataltuhu. O Nabi of Allah, it was me. I promise you, I killed him. I'm saying, my brother, you get rid of whatever carries this year. If it means lose your job, lose your job. Your iman is more important. Ya Rasulullah, ana qataltuhu, ana qataltuhu. Nabi alayhi salam said, hal masahtuma sayfaykuma? Did you perchance wipe the sword off on which it's stained with blood? They said, no. Nabi salallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, go bring it and come. So they bring the sword and come, and both the swords respectively has the traces and the stains of Abu Jahl's blood and the blood of the horse. Nabi alayhi salam teared, and then he embraced them, and he said, kilakuma qatalahu. Both of you collectively have comforted the heart of Allah's Nabi, and you have put an end to this enemy. I'm saying, at this time the call is your economic muscle. We are not being asked to give our lives, and we are not being asked to become emotional. Act within the framework, but understand the economic muscle that Allah has given us. People cannot understand the profile and the position and the lofty rank that the Prophet ﷺ enjoys in our lives. You don't have any idea. And I hope that this prompts your curiosity and read a book on Islam. The narration of Bukhari, Kitab al-Shurut, the occasion of Hudaybiyah, when one of the envoys came to negotiate. He said the negotiation got left one side. I was riveted by how they revere this man. I came, Suhail said, on behalf of the disbelievers to strike a deal. When I got there, wallahi ma tanakhama nukhamatan illa waqa'at fi kaffi rajulin minhum fadalaka biha wajhahu wa jildahu wa idha tawadda'a kadu yaqtatiluna ala wudhu'ihi wa idha amarahum bi amrin ibtada'u amrahu wa ma yuhidduna ilayhi an-nadhra ta'dheeman lahu. He said, when I got there, I seen the most remarkable sight I never seen in my life. This Nabi would just endeavor to spit, and they would die for his saliva. Now I'm saying, this is the level of respect Islam displays to us and expects to us. Can we digest humor against the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We take objection, and I said it and I say it. You'll hear the same pain in my voice and the same dislike if you choose to disgrace any Nabi of Allah. Wallahi ma tanakhama nukhamatan illa waqa'at fi kaffi rajulin minhum. One of them, when the Nabi of Allah would intend spitting, they would die for his saliva. Fadalaka biha wajhahu wajildahu. Then they will take that saliva and they will treasure it and apply it on the entire body. Nabi alayhi salam came to the house of Umm Sulaym. Nabi alayhi salam is sleeping. He gets up. He sees Umm Sulaym there. Umm Sulaym, what are you doing? Oh, Nabi of Allah, while you were sleeping, there was a gentle perspiration. And you know, that for us is the greatest fragrance. You know, that for us is the greatest fragrance. I was just putting that together. Malik ibn Sinan radiallahu anhu, the Nabi of Allah is injured. Blood comes out. He seizes the opportunity. He gathers the blood. Nabi alayhi salam said, okay, go and bury this blood somewhere where nobody has access to it. He goes and in minutes he's back. Nabi alayhi salam said, you dispose of it? He said, oh, Nabi of Allah, taken care of. For the record, where did you bury it? Oh, Nabi of Allah, it's in my belly. Jahannam is forbidden for the man who has my blood in his body. Jahannam is forbidden for the man who has my blood in his body. I'm saying, oh Muslim, have you died the spirit of Iman? If your Nabi cannot awaken you, and you can't make some conscious decisions in your life, in identifying your friend from foe, then I'm afraid there's nothing left. Your Nabi is the one that's supposed to awaken every spirit within you. قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ. The enmity is at times displayed verbally, but what their hearts conceal is far greater than what the tongues reveal. Let me wrap up on that hadith. When the Nabi of Allah would spit, they would die for the saliva. وَإِذَا تَوَذَّ أَكَادُوا يَقْتَتِلُونَ عَلَى وَذُوئِهِ. When he intends performing ablution, they converge around him, they crowd him up, and they try and get some water. And if perchance they cannot get the water, he's saying, I'm observing this year, then one of them would take his hand and rub it on the moist hand of his brother who got some water. And he will treasure this year that I got it. I got the moisture from the hand of my brother. Such was the love that they had for Nabi alayhi salam. وَإِذَا أَمَرَهُمْ إِبْتَدَرُوا أَمْرَهُ. When he would say anything, they would hasten and they would comply. وَمَا يُحِدُّونَ إِلَيْهِ النَّظْرَ تَعْظِيمًا لَهُ. and they would never dare lift their gaze towards Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam out of respect. So this was the respect, and this is the teachings of Islam. My opening comments were, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَسُبُّ اللَّهَ عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Islam teaches us, respect other faiths, respect other belief systems. Islam teaches us, respect every Nabi. لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِي. We show respect and regard to every Nabi. But obviously we cannot accept and we cannot digest that somebody, Abu Quhafa, the father of Abu Bakr, made a nasty remark against Nabi alayhi salam. Abu Bakr advanced towards him. Nabi alayhi salam said, Abu Bakr, back off, that's your dad. He said, O Nabi of Allah, but then on the other hand, it's you. O Nabi of Allah, on the other hand, it's you. Let it not be that our economic loyalties and allegiance to our money overpowers our intelligence, overpowers our faith. Let us create a distinction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill within us the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us become true ambassadors of this deen. Let us take a copy on the noble life and the impeccable character of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam and present it to the world so that they can appreciate and understand the rank, the position, and the lofty position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afforded to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So again, the concluding words is that it's an integral part of our iman. It's a vital ingredient of our iman that we stand for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and we defend his position. And yes, Islam advocates forgiveness. Let's start forgiving when I'm insulted. That's the beginning point. When I am violated, most definitely the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. I'm just going to end off on one incident again. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam was in Kaaba and he was performing the sajda, and Abu Jahl took the nasty step to come and drop the intestines on the back of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I sat there and I felt humiliated. I felt violated. I felt defeated. And I said, how can I see this? But it was the very initial state. We didn't have a clout. We didn't have a muscle. We didn't have a voice. We weren't established. So I said, if I'm going to go, I don't know what reaction it's going to prompt. And then somebody went to the little Fatima, and said, oh Fatima, go see what is happening to your dad in Masjid al-Haram. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, I was humbled when I was debating, but the little Fatima came forward. She came forward and أخذ سلا جزور عن ظهر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And imagine her in her innocent walk, in her simple walk, but responding to the hour. Today you are not asked to physically, but definitely you are asked to come on a radio. You are asked to come on a platform. You are asked on to financially boycott. There will be other implications where your faith will be tested in relation to the constraints. Conduct yourself with dignity and display what it takes to reflect the spirit of iman. Fatima radiallahu anha came and she took it out. And then she said, Allahumma alayka bi Quraysh. Allahumma alayka bi Quraysh. Oh my Allah. What have these people done to my father? Oh Allah, what have they done? And then Fatima radiallahu anha said, gradually Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mustered the courage and lifted his head up. And then he started cursing them individually. Allahumma alayka bi Abi Jahl ibn Hisham. Allahumma alayka bi Walid. Allahumma alayka bi Utba. Alayk, if you want to know what's alayka in Arabic, oh Allah, take control. Oh Allah, deal with him personally. Oh Allah, express your grandeur on him. Oh Allah, nab him. Oh Allah, deal with him. And then time had barely passed. And every one of them who the Nabi of Allah had cursed had met his fate in Badr. In fact, Nabi alayhi salam had preempted it. And before Badr, he said, Hada masra'u fulan. Hada masra'u fulan. Abu Jahl will be dying here. Walid will meet his fate there. Uqba will go there. So and so will go there. He preempted it. And he had demarcated the precise locations where the respective disbelievers will meet their fate. My concluding comments are, Islam teaches us respect. Islam teaches us dignity. We have coexisted throughout the centuries. And we enjoy a healthy democracy and we coexist with our fellow non-Muslims. We will never ever say anything unpleasant to any Nabi. But neither will we ever tolerate anybody dare making anything unpleasant towards our Nabi. Is it high time? Is it not high time you understand who your friends are and who your enemies are? Allah inspire us all. Wa akhiru da'wana.